My most favorite thing to do when I travel is to find a local church, to come, to pray, but most important of all, to attend Mass, and to see the different manifestation in the life of the church in the local region or nation. Even though there were times that I didn't understand what was being said, but the Mass is so beautiful and universal that I can follow through it. And what makes the Mass more beautiful is its Christocentric or Christ-centered. We can go anywhere in the world and we would know as Catholics that we profess the same faith and the same love for Christ. And us as Catholics, we have to ask ourselves a real, tangible, personal, and heart-based question. Are we humble enough to find Christ? And are we humble enough to bear the name of Christ in our lives, yes or not? And I believe what is being said through all three readings today is the invitation of humility. Humility and a lowly heart to seek God. We heard in the first reading, according to the prophet Zephaniah, he said, quoting the Lord, I will leave as a remnant in your midst a people humble and lowly who take refuge in the name of the Lord, the remnant of Israel. They shall do no wrong and speak no lies, nor shall there be found in their mouth a deceitful tongue. They shall pasture and couch their flock with none to disturb them. And St. Paul follows the prophet Zephaniah with beautiful words in the first letter to the Corinthians. He said, God chose the foolish of the world to shame the wise, and God chose the weak of the world to shame the strong, and God chose the lowly and despised of the world, those who count for nothing, to reduce to nothing those who are something, so that no human being might boast before God. And that is the attitude that each and every one of us need to have when we understand the teachings of the church and the commandments that have been given to us by Christ. Sometimes we come to the faith, sometimes we come to the life and the relationship with Christ demanding or thinking that we know everything or that everything has to be according to what we want. We lack the humility and the trust in God and the desire to continue to grow in that love. If that's the case, then we have made ourselves God or the center or the criterion of truth or judgment instead of looking to Christ, who is the one who heals, the one who loves, the one who sanctifies, the one who invites, and the one who wants us to grow and as we, as his disciples, conform to his image, his life, because Christ is the example par excellence of what it means to be sons and daughters of God. One priest have told me, in order for us to learn how to be sons and daughters of God, we need to learn from the Son of God himself. And today, the Lord Jesus teaches in the Beatitudes for each and every one of us how to be sons and daughters of God, our Heavenly Father. Whenever we read in the Gospel of St. Matthew, whenever Jesus go up to the mountain, he always teaches. Why is the image of going up to the mountain important? Because whenever we read in the Old Testament, Moses and the prophets, whenever they go up to the mountain, they receive a new commandments, a new teaching, a new set of rules from God. Well, they taught not according to their authority, but the authority given to them by God. But Jesus Christ, according to St. Matthew, is the Son of God. So whenever he goes up to the mountain, he gives a new teaching, not in anyone else's name, but in his own name. And today, he gives us the Beatitudes. A priest told me, the Beatitude is the set of commandments, a set of rules and guidelines for us as Christians, the one who to follow Christ, to have that same attitude that Christ. The Beatitude are the attitudes. The attitudes that are required for us to be disciples of Christ. So whenever people come to me and say, "Oh, Father, I don't know what I have sinned," I look at myself with the Ten Commandments, and I don't think that I have sinned that much. Well, I always invite those people to reflect upon the Beatitudes. If we really think, reflect, and understand the Beatitudes, all of us have fall short in one way or another. Okay, let us take a look at some of the Beatitudes. The first one that the Lord begins with, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for there is the kingdom of God." To be poor in spirit is to know that we are not in control. God is. Are we poor enough to depend on God? Are we poor enough to trust in Him? Are we poor enough to seek Him? And are we poor enough to let the Lord be our master, our guide, and the one who gives us everything? Or do we still come with ourselves first? Second, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." Have we ever mourned the loss of someone? Have we gone through something that really tested and tried us? At those moments, it's so easy to be in despair. But when we mourn, we find the real reason and a chance for us to strengthen our hope in God. For God will be the one who comforts us, the one that we find ourselves trusting, loving, even when we don't understand why. Next, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land." It's so easy for us to understand that those who are strong, those who are in power, control everything. But truly, the meek who trust in God, the meek who are unpretentious, the meek who know who they are, the meek are the ones that are invited to inherit the land, because they live not for themselves, but for God and for their brothers and sisters. Next, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied." My brothers and sisters, ask ourselves, do we hunger and thirst for righteousness or not? Are we seeking God? Are we seeking the truth? Or are we just say, "You do whatever you want, I do whatever I want"? We live in a very relative and very lax morality because we don't want to change ourselves. Do we really seek righteousness? Do we really seek the truth? The saints have said clearly, those who seek the truth will find God. So those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be satisfied, because God is the summum bonum, the highest good, the end all in all of every desire. Next, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." We talk about love and mercy a lot in this modern age, but I think that we talk a lot, we give lip service, but whenever things come, whenever someone opposes us, we slash them, we hurt them through gossip and through other means very easily. So we really lack mercy in this world, because we give lip service, but we have not put mercy into practice. And we have not been merciful in our actions and in our words. So that is something very important for all of us to reflect upon. Next, "Blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God." Do you and I see God in our lives yet? Is our heart clean? Or it is filled with so many things right now? If it's not clean, then we haven't see God as He is. We only see God through the lenses that we have created for Him, through the agendas that we have, or through the worldview that we have created for ourselves. So may we clean our heart through the sacrament of reconciliation, through humility, through the lowliness of understanding of our sins, so that we will see God as He is, face to face, and to embrace His teaching. And that will lead us into being peacemakers, for we shall be called children of God. Are we really making peace? look at what's going on recently in our own nation. A lot of protests, a lot of anger, a lot of frustration, a lot of things going on. Perhaps we haven't feel peace. We think we know what peace is, but when it comes times of trials, tests, disagreement, and the things that go against what we want, or the thing that bring us out of our comfort zone, we do not seek peace. We seek to destroy each other. We seek to speak only according to what we want. We haven't really seek peace. But peace, and not just the absence of violence or war, is the deep peace that comes from within, the ability to rest in God, knowing who we are, His children. And lastly, blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Are we willing to be persecuted for the righteousness, for our faith, for our belief, and for our love for God yet or not? Or are we still scared and doing everything in order to prove ourselves or in order for other people to know who we are? May we seek righteousness even to the point of being persecuted, being hurt for the truth, not for our own standard, not for our own justification, but for the love that is based in God. And Jesus wrapped it all up by saying that whenever people insult us, persecute us, and utter every kind of evil against us because of Him, He is calling us to always rejoice and to be glad. For our reward will be great in heaven. The Lord Jesus didn't say, when you follow me, you will have everything that you want now on earth. That is the false message of the prosperity gospel, or the cheapened version of the gospel itself. Our true reward is in heaven, our eternal home. Are we preparing for eternity now? Are we living it now? Or are we still thinking of something much more shallow, profane, and worldly? My brothers and sisters, I invite you to go back and read the Beatitudes and reflect upon the teachings that the Lord had for us. And I'm just going to wrap up this homily with what St. Paul has said again. God chose the foolish of the world to shame the wise, and God chose the weak of the world to shame the strong. And God chose the lowly and despised of the world, those who count for nothing, to reduce to nothing those who are something, so that no human being might boast before God. May we always be humble. May we have the attitudes in order to be Jesus' disciples, the children of God, our Heavenly Father, and the instrument of the Holy Spirit in this world who seek Him. First, by seeking Him with humility, with genuine heart, and with the love that not only for this world, but in the world to come. May God bless us all. May we always seek God in everything that we do and everything.